tell you, praise the Lord. Be glad when the Lord calls us home. Amen. All right. Thank you, Miss Charlotte. It was a blessing. All right. These months that have the five Sundays, I got men of the church preaching these Wednesday nights. Tonight I've asked Brother Dwayne to come and preach for us. So Brother Dwayne, you come on and bring this message.
We on now?
Yeah.
All right. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 19 tonight. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about... I'm going to have to come out of this coat. Give you a little thought to start with. You ever been watching somebody like... Maybe in the grocery store you're watching a stocker as he's working, kind of from a distance, but you're watching how he goes from box to hand to shelf, box to shelf like a juggler without even thinking about it. And you're just kind of watching it and thinking, man, he's pretty good. And then he just stops and he looks you right in the eye. Can I help you? Before he even said anything, when he looked you in the eyes, he had already communicated with you because he had acknowledged you were there. And when people can look at each other and see each other, but when you look into the eyes, there's a communication there. There's a link that comes up. And wanted to talk to you about several people. You're familiar with all these people, I know. The first one I wanted to talk about tonight, here in Luke, it says in verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." And you think about it, he was a man of little stature. He was probably called a runt, shorty, sawed off, maybe even a fraction of a man. Yeah, pipsqueak. I'm sure he had heard them all back in those days. And he was probably getting a little heckling from climbing up in a tree, too. But he wanted to see Jesus. And as Jesus walked by there, it says, "And Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and saw him." And when he saw him, those eyes connected. And he saw into Jesus' eyes. And Jesus said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." That man's life was changed that day. And it all started with a look into Jesus' eyes. Him being short, little of stature, he probably tried to make up for a lot of things by, it says he was rich. Probably tried to make up for it by gathering up all the money that he could, all the goods that he could, taking advantage of people that was bigger than he was because he had more money than they did, and he could buy other people's friendship. But I believe if you read on there, after he saw Jesus, he gave back things that he had stolen, that he had taken falsely. He gave them back, and he paid them back plus some. And it all started with the look into Jesus' eyes. When Jesus looked into his eyes, he saw the look of a friend. we're in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus was in his travels as he was going from place to place. People followed along with him, followed along behind him. And they tried to, many people wanted to be healed. They wanted to be, they wanted to get whatever it was Jesus had, because there was a lot of talk about what was going on with Jesus. Well, there was this one woman in particular. She had been sick with this issue of blood for 12 years. And during that whole 12 years, if you understand in the Jewish religion, when you have an issue of blood like that, you're considered unclean. You couldn't go to the tabernacle. There was a lot of things that you were prohibited from doing because you were unclean. If I remember right, you couldn't even go to your own house. You had to stay outside the city because you were unclean. And this woman had been this way for 12 years and had pretty much just spent her whole life savings. Everything that she made, she tried to spend it to try to solve this problem. And she couldn't do it. The doctors couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. But she heard about Jesus. And so as she was trying to get to him in the crowd, there was such a press around him. And she was trying and she was reaching out. She was reaching out. And she was thinking in herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be healed. Because I believe in what this man can do. And it says in verse 20, it says, and behold, the woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Be whole. But Jesus turned about. And when he saw her, I'm sure she was thinking, oh, no. Oh, my. Why is he looking at me? But she was looking into his eyes, too, and he was looking into hers. And what she was seeing in his eyes is what she was feeling in her body at the same time. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It was a look of Jesus that brought healing to her. And then over in John, I want to look at somebody else that Jesus looked at. John chapter 8. There was a woman in the city there where Jesus was at, where he was teaching. There was a woman there that had been caught in the act of adultery. And the scribes and the Pharisees, all these arrogant, high and mighty men, thought they had done something, thought they was going to do something with Jesus. They brought her to Jesus. And they said, you know, according to Moses' law, we should take this woman out and stone her. They didn't bring the one that she was committing adultery with. They just brought her. And who knows? That may have been a clean setup just for the sake of trying to prove something with Jesus. But he didn't even look at her. He didn't even look at the scribes and the Pharisees that brought her to him. He just dropped down to the ground and started writing on the ground, or making as if he was writing something on the ground. And they started pressing. This is what Moses said. What do you say, Jesus? Come on, we want to know. We want to know What do you think about this? Should we do what Moses said? Should we take her out and stone her? And he stood up, still not looking at her. He looked at them, and I'm sure they looked into his eyes. He said, "You that are without sin, cast the first stone." And then he looked away and he went back down and started drawing on the ground again. And I'm sure this woman this whole time, she's thinking, "My gosh, they're fixing to kill me. I know I'm fixing to die." And he's telling them to go ahead. What am I going to do? Or what could she do? And as she stood there and she looked around, she started seeing different ones just throw their rock down, turn around and walk off. She's like, "What is up with this? Why are they..." And more of them kept leaving, from the oldest all the way to the youngest. And Jesus wasn't even looking up. He didn't have to. He knew what was going on. But then when he stood back up, there in verse 10 it says, "And Jesus lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman." She was looking into his eyes. What do you think she saw? He said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And she found forgiveness in the eyes of Jesus. When you look into the eyes of Jesus, it runs deep. It was something she could feel all the way through her body. Her life was changed that day. She'd been filling up a miserable, empty life with things that didn't matter. And today, she'd been given a new lease on life. And she'd been forgiven. She was given a second chance at life. She was only a stone's throw from death. But she got to live. And back over in Luke chapter 22, I want to look at somebody else over there. Find it here. Okay. Now, when Jesus had been at that supper in the upper room, and he was talking to his disciples and talking to everybody there in the room, and he told them, he said, "One of you is going to betray me tonight." And from one to the other, they were saying, "Is it me, Lord? Am I going to betray you? Is it me? How about me, Lord? Surely it's not me. How could anybody betray you?" And Jesus said, "To whom I give the sop to, he will do it." And he sopped the bread, gave it to Judas, and said, "What thou doest, go and do quickly." And it says Satan entered into him and he left. And he went and covenanted with the priest and how he might give Jesus over to him when the crowds weren't around. And they were glad to do it. They were glad to give him the money. It wasn't nothing but pocket change, just 30 pieces of silver. But see, he had Satan in him. Satan wasn't taking no chances that night. He didn't send one of his demons to do his dirty work. He made this one personal. He didn't like Jesus. And he wanted to do this personally. And he did. And so as Jesus, after the supper, and they went out to pray, and Jesus kept trying to get his disciples, "Stay up and pray with me. Stay up and pray with me." And he'd go off and pray, and he'd come back, and they'd be asleep. And he'd wake them up and he'd say, Watch and pray, for the hour is at hand. Watch and pray. And he'd go off and he'd come back and they'd be asleep again. And then in verse 47, it says, in verse 46, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? At that moment, I think they were looking at each other's eyes. And I think at that very moment, Satan said, okay, my job's over. He was gone. And Judas was left standing there just as alone as he had ever been in his whole life. Standing there looking at Jesus as the soldiers took him and drug him away. And he's, wait, no, that's wrong. You can't do that. He's an innocent man. He went back to the priest, tried to give him back the money, tell him, no, I was wrong. He's an innocent man. You can't do this. And they just laughed at him. We don't want that money. That's blood money. You know, that's yours. You keep it. You know, that's your pocket change, not mine. And I honestly believe when Jesus was looking into Judas's eyes that he had compassion there. I believe Judas very well could have gotten forgiveness and came back and have been one of the greatest evangelists of all time. But he didn't. He kept listening to the devil, or to the devil's demons. I'm sure the devil was over there just cheering him on and telling him, oh yeah, yeah, you done messed up now. I got you. You're going to burn for this. You done turned in the Son of God. Yeah, you can't get forgiveness for that. And Judas believed it and went out and hung himself and sealed his fate forever. But I don't think he had to. Other people denied Jesus too, and they became very great as far as evangelism goes. If you look a little further down there in Luke chapter 22, or as you read on there, you'll find that Peter, as he was standing outside while Jesus was in the court, Peter was out there warming himself by the fire. He was out there mingling with the sinners, mingling with the wrong crowd, trying to keep an eye on what was going on, but trying not to be caught up in it, not be a part of it. And he was the one that said, you know, I'll never turn my back on you. I'll go to death with you. You know, whatever it takes, Jesus, I'm there. I got you back. And then there he was by the fire. When somebody confronted him, it scared him so bad. He said, no, I don't know Jesus. And I'm sure it hurt his feelings the first time he did it. And then the second time somebody came up, he thought, well, that first time was pretty easy. Maybe this will be a little easier. They did it again. And then a third time, they're in verse 59, the space of about an hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter saw it. He saw Jesus, his eyes, and he saw disappointment. Jesus had told him what he would do, and he promised Jesus that he would never do that. And when he did it, even though he probably wasn't even in hearing distance of Jesus, but he could see him, Jesus turned and looked at him, and their eyes met. There was some communication going on there. It says Peter went out and wept bitterly. While Jesus was going through all the trials, I'm sure all the people, all of the prisoners that were locked up at the time, they were here and they were getting, you know, blow by blow of what was going on outside. And they were here and they were able to hear the crowd shouting. And they knew that somebody was being beaten outside. They could hear the stripes. They could hear it as Jesus was being beaten. They could hear the people mocking him, making fun of him. They could hear the people crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And while they were listening to all this, they came and got Barabbas. I'm sure Barabbas, "Oh no, I'm fixing to die. I'm going down with this man. He's going down, and they're calling me out. I'm going too." Well, here goes. He gets out there, and he looks around. He's listening to the crowd. Pilate says, "What do I do with this man, Barabbas?" And he said, "Free him and crucify Jesus." I'm sure he turned around and looked at Jesus, and Jesus looked at him. My communication going on there. He realized, "I'm getting a second chance on life. This man's fixing to take my place on that cross. I deserve it. I don't know if he does or not, but I do. And I ain't having to go. He is." And he left. And after Jesus' death, we turn back over Mark chapter, back to John chapter 20. Okay. There in John chapter 20, or in Mark chapter 16, don't look this one up, but Mark 16:9, it says, "Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven devils." You know, she had met Jesus face to face. She had looked into his eyes. And the seven devils that were inside her left. They run away and left her alone. And she had come to where, to his burial place, because she wanted to anoint his body. And she came there, and the stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. She didn't know. She'd done forgotten. But in chapter 20, verse 15, as she was standing there, says, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me, where hast thou laid him? And I will take him away." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she looked up. There was those eyes again. She saw into Jesus' eyes again. This time, it wasn't like the first time. First time had a lot of things because those demons ran away from her. This time she was sad. She found joy in those eyes. She not only found joy, she saw timeless, infinite, both ancient and brand new maybe only a few minutes after he had risen from the dead, come back to life, had renewed life in him. And I'm sure as he was looking at her, there was a twinkle in his eye too, because he was thinking, this is my child. It was worth it. And she turned herself unto him and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And he said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended unto my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And I'm sure she just didn't walk in and say, hey, tomb's empty. I saw Jesus back there. I'm sure she... He's alive! He's back! He's alive like he said he'd be. He said go to Galilee and meet him there like he said he would. And she was excited. She had every reason to be. And they didn't believe her either. But they found out. They got a chance to look into his eyes again before he ascended back. The look of Jesus is all things to all people. It's both salvation, it's friendship, healing, forgiveness, compassion. Sometimes it's disappointment when we do things that we're not supposed to do. But even still, there's still forgiveness. All you got to do is ask. He promised he would. He loves you more than any mother or father, human mother or father, could love you. He loved you more. He died for you. You're his child if you've asked him to come into your heart. You remember a time when you maybe were standing in one of those pews, or sitting in a pew, or standing between the pews, and you felt the Holy Spirit tugging at you. You looked up. You saw Jesus right in the eye. Got you right here. You remember how it felt? Go tell everybody. When was the last time he was on visitation? When was the last time you told somebody at work? Jesus said, let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. But whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Yes. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Someday we'll see him face to face and we'll be able to look into his eyes personally. Right now, we can see him spiritually, but we can feel everything that these other people felt when they looked into his eyes. We can see that too. All you have to do is ask. He'll open your eyes and let you see it too. Jesus commanded us to go out and tell others. He bought and paid a very dear price for your salvation. Something that he didn't have to do, but he was more than willing to. And just like when he was looking at Mary, that twinkle in his eye, you're my child. That look, that kindness, that just fills you up and overflows you. And you can't hold it in. You got to go tell somebody. Tomorrow night's visitation, y'all come out. Go tell somebody with us. Go out and be a witness for Him. He gave His life for you. The least you can do is tell somebody else. If you haven't been telling people like you ought to, there's an old-fashioned altar down here. You're more than welcome to come down here and talk to Him about it. If you haven't been obeying His commandments, He said He'd forgive you. All you got to do is ask. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess them. You need strength. You need forgiveness. You need fellowship. You need salvation. You find it right here. He'll meet you here. There'll be somebody down here to meet you and show you how, too. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Fisher and let him... have the invitation. Yeah.